And coming up to 9:50 in our studios, we've got Jeff Norris with us. He's the president and CEO of Royal Columbian Hospital Foundation. So we've been talking about cardiac care, and we've been talking about how important it is that the donor support is there. There are two main components to the cath lab. There is the imaging and there's the monitoring equipment part of it. Can you break that down?
Sure, absolutely. So to even sort of back up just for all the listeners, they sort of have a bit of an overview of what we're talking about going on in the cath lab. I'm always a little reticent to say it this way, but the folks working in the cath lab are essentially plumbers. So, you know, people have this idea when you talk about sort of heart interventions, it's sort of the open heart surgery,
right.
You know, you would crack the ribs and go in and actually work on someone's heart. But what they're doing in the cath lab is they're doing interventions around the heart without having to go in through a surgery. So they're essentially putting up devices through an artery, usually in the leg, going up into the heart. And if there's a blockage there, they might be using a balloon to open up and take that blockage. And they might be leaving something structural in there, like a stent, which essentially looks like a metal spring.
Yes.
That if you can imagine it sort of expands the size of an artery. We're also able to do things like a TAVI, a trans-aortic valve implant, which is actually doing a heart valve implant by going up through the arteries in the leg, rather than actually going in and doing an open heart surgery. So that's the area that they're doing. So when we talk about having things like imaging and monitoring equipment, the imaging equipment we're talking about is actually showing the roadmap to the physicians that are doing this work in terms of where they are as they're feeding these devices in through the body, and making sure that they're locating things in the right place and seeing seeing a good high quality picture of what's happening there. So our examples that we're going through is the new sort of imaging technology that we're bringing in, what actually takes a scan around the entire patient's body and is able to produce a 3D image. If you can imagine some of the 3D technology you're seeing on computers these days, to give them really good direct placement in terms of how they're doing that procedure. So right away, if you can imagine sort of any technology that people have home, if you could think about your computers that you had 10 years ago or your phones you had 10 years ago, and the sort of imaging and quality that you're able to have with that, and then fast forward to where we are 10 years later, and that's what we're talking about. It's a 10-year upgrade of this equipment that we're going through. So we're really going to be able to have a huge step forward, and it's going to mean a couple things. It's going to mean that procedures can be done faster and more effectively. And those are two things, of course, we want for patients coming through. That's the imaging side of it. Any questions about the imaging before I move on to the monitoring?
No, it just kind of brings me to the fact that you're saying the improvements over time in technology. Speaking of that, Apple is unveiling some new products today.
They are, absolutely. I think they got the new Apple TV coming through there.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's that imaging. Same technology that keeps pushing it out and keeps pushing the imaging. And it's in fact, people that are going through and using computers on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, if you go into the cath lab, you'll see a lot of it's driven by people looking up at a monitor and seeing those sort of imaging qualities coming forward. So, you know, imaging might sound like a somewhat simple thing, but it's obviously crucial to these kinds of procedures.
For sure.
The other side of it, of course, is the monitoring equipment.
Right.
And this is equipment that helps us understand the oxygen levels in someone's blood during the procedure, how much blood pressure is actually going through during the procedure, and it's giving a real-time feedback to the nurses and the physicians working in the area to know that what they're doing is having the desired effect. So if they're introducing some medications as part of the process, they're seeing right away in real time whether that medication is having an improved quality for the patient that's having the procedure done, or if they've put in something mechanical like I talked about, like putting in a stent, whether they're seeing that immediate feedback. And that's so critically important because a huge number of our patients coming through for these catheterization procedures aren't coming there because it's been a scheduled procedure.
No.
They're coming there because they're someone who's fallen into an emergency situation.
Right.
And that's, I mean, we are the emergency cardiac room for the entire region. So if someone has a heart attack and it's made aware to the people picking them up in the ambulance. They'll take them directly to Royal Columbian Hospital because that time is very precious. The more time before an intervention is done, the more damage you're going to have to the heart muscle. The time just directly equals the heart muscle. So having better imaging quality when we're treating them and better monitoring quality to see that the treatments are having the desired effect really can have a massive impact on the long-term health outcome for that patient after they have their procedure done.
Wow. So do you have majority of the people coming in for heart operations? Is it usually through emergency and picked up at home because they feel that they've got chest pains or...
I think there's a good variety in terms of what they come through. So some it might have been picked up through, you know, regular interactions with their GP, or they had some other symptom come forward and they presented to a hospital, and once they had some other tests run, they realized there was some blockages in their heart. But given the role that we play within the region, we do have a very significant number of patients come through in some sort of emergency situation because they've had a heart attack usually.
So tell me, if people are living in Surrey, for example, majority of our listeners, and I'm talking about our listeners because we do have cardiac problems, we do have diabetes as an issue within our community. A person in Surrey, for example, has had a heart attack, and the ambulance picks the person up. Would they first take them to Surrey Memorial Hospital or direct them directly to Royal Columbian?
So if it's clear when they're picked up by the ambulance that it is a heart attack that they've had,
yes,
they'll take them directly to Royal Columbian Hospital.
Wow.
Because that's where the intervention is going to happen in terms of relieving any of the symptoms of the heart attack. Now, if there's a question of whether they've had a heart attack, they might end up at Surrey Memorial to be stabilized, and then once it's clear that they did have a heart attack, they'd be transferred from Surrey Memorial to Royal Columbian Hospital.
Wow.
So it's really important, actually, for the paramedics on the scene, if they can identify right away that it's clearly a heart attack and they need immediate treatment, that they're going to go right to Royal Columbian Hospital. So regardless of whether you're in Surrey, whether you're in Burnaby or whether in another location that we're serving within the Fraser Health region, if you're identified as clearly having a heart attack, you're going to end up at Royal Columbian right away.
Through our programs and our relationship with Royal Columbian Hospital, we have started a program in which awareness of what's happening at the hospital and how you can access the hospital will be, you know, given out on a weekly basis through our program. And there are, I think, lists being made of what equipment would be needed to service the community. And I think that's what we will talk about in our next program.
Absolutely. I mean, we know for the entire project for our cath labs, it's going to be about $3 million that we're going out and raising. And we've been really fortunate that we've already had a number of donors step forward and help us with that and make contributions towards it. But you'll hear time and time again over the next coming months our request out there for others to come forward and support it, because we really need to make sure this is taken care of. And I know the obvious question someone out there listening would be, how do they step forward and support this?
Right.
The easiest way is visiting our website, which is rchfoundation.com. And you'll see right there on one of the opening pages a picture that you can link into that talks about this cardiac campaign and options to make a donation right there. And so I'd really encourage people, if they want to read more about this and see some of the images that that I've maybe alluded to as we talked about this, to do go ahead and visit the website, and they'll find that information there.
Well, we take this opportunity and thank you very much for coming out, Jeff. And we look forward to talking to all the doctors as well and people who work at the hospital.
Well, on behalf of everyone at the hospital, thank you so much for putting a spotlight on the work we're doing. It's incredibly important, and we really appreciate your support.
You're more than welcome.